for sure. But in Mark chapter 5, let's read verses 25 through 34 here this evening. In Mark 5, verse 25, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, that is power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Guide and direct us in this tonight. Encourage us and strengthen us tonight. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's an amazing story. Again, an important man by the name of J. Iris had come to the Lord and pleading for his daughter who was sick about unto death. This woman comes along and touches the Lord and interrupts everything because the Lord stopped to deal with her. Soon as he's done with her, the servants come to J. Iris and say, "Don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter is dead." Now, the Lord went on and resurrected her. Amen, right? But for a moment there, J. Iris, I wonder what he was feeling. Because the Bible said that the Lord had already started going with J. Iris when this woman came up and this interruption happened. And he hears the Lord say to her, "You're healed. Go in peace." And as soon as he hears that, he hears his servant say, "Don't bother him anymore. Your daughter just died." He had a hard day right there, didn't he? But the Lord took care of things. But the Lord took care of both of these people. That girl was 12 years old. This lady had been suffering for 12 years. I'm not really sure the significance of that, but the Bible points that out, that there was a correlation there as to how long she had been suffering and the age of the girl that was sick and however long she had been sick, but she died. But the Lord took care of that one too. He tested their faith. He tested Jairus' faith, and he did something for this woman that she really needed. Now, a nobody who pressed on. What I mean by that is she pressed through the crowd. She pushed her way through the crowd. She just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. She reached through and just touched the hem of his garment. She believed that that would make her whole. She believed that that would heal her. Interesting, but that's what she believed, that's what she thought, that's what she said to herself, and there are reasons for that. But up to this point, she was sick, she was frustrated, she was bankrupt in every way. You ever gone through all of that with the doctors? You know, my wife's been going through this as well, and I understand all of that, and you do feel bankrupt in every way. You know, you feel like, well, emotionally and physically, and you get drained, And they want to get paid even though they tell you they don't know what they're doing or don't know what they're talking about or don't know what's happening. And it gets frustrating. The Bible describes such a woman right here. It was a life of disappointments. It was a life of shattered hopes because every time she thought maybe somebody was on the right track, it didn't work out. And that sickness that she had just was always there. But the Bible says she heard of Jesus. She heard of Jesus. She heard of one who healed people. She heard of the Lord. Now, she said, "If I may just touch him." Now, Wiersbe points out in his commentary something interesting. It's likely familiar that she, likely that she was familiar with that idea, because if you'll look here, keep your place, but look in chapter 3 at verse 10, if you will. Chapter 3 and verse 10. Look what it says here. Mark 3:10. Here the Bible says, "For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him, for to touch him as many as had plagues." People just wanted to touch the Lord, and they believed that would heal them. And many people got healed that way. And then after her, more people heard about it, because in chapter 6, look at verse 56. 656, another similar statement. 656. "And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garments. And as many as had touched him were made whole." She had heard about that back in chapter 3. And now in chapter 6, people have heard about her situation, and they believe that, boy, if I could just touch the clothing. And the Lord mentioned that. Who touched my clothes? Now, let me say this, folks. It was not the clothes that healed. It was the person in those clothes, right? So we got to understand that. Now, one reason perhaps why Jesus called this woman out is because he didn't want her to go away thinking that some kind of magic had happened. He wanted her to understand it was by faith in him that brought about her healing. I mean, had he not called her out, she could have went away and said, "Boy, y'all just go touch his clothes. There's magic in his clothes." No, that's not what it's about. The Lord said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." The Lord didn't say, "I'm glad you touched my lucky garment today. I'm glad you touched my lucky hem today." He didn't say that. He said it was faith in him that did it. People had all kind of ideas, though. And they thought he was a magic healer, if you will. But the Lord wanted them to understand who he really was and what he was really about. Because people would get caught up in that kind of a thing. Somebody pointed out he would die soon, and the Lord would soon die. And, you know, if the Lord hadn't let it be known it was belief in him, then they would all been looking for his clothing, thinking there was some kind of healing in the clothing or something of that nature. The Lord buried Moses, and nobody knew where it was, because God knew that they would make that a shrine and go worship that spot. It's not about the clothing. It's not about the article. It's not about the place. It's about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith must be in him and nothing else. Amen? She had to learn that. But there was a lot of healing going on at that time. The Lord was really helping people. And as we see there from those other verses, word was spreading. And the Bible says here, she heard of Jesus. Isn't it good when the word spreads and people hear, "Jesus can be my helper"? Psalm 30, verse 10, the Bible says, "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper." David said, "Lord, hear my prayer, have mercy upon me, and Lord, you be my personal helper." I make it a personal thing with you too. Lord, be thou my helper. Don't you need the Lord to be your helper? Amen. Oh, he can be somebody else's helper, but he wants to be your helper too. This lady heard of Jesus, and she went to see Jesus. All right, let me give you three things quickly tonight. Try not to be long. We got a meeting tonight, all right? Let's go to number one. Number one, she touched Jesus. I'm just going to give you this tonight. She touched him, she trusted him, she testified for him. That's going to be the outline. That's where we're headed right there, all right? So number one, she touched Jesus. She touched him, whether she touched his garment, whether she touched the hem of his garment, whether she touched the little fringe around the robes that they wore, whatever it was, she reached out to touch Jesus, believing that that was going to heal her. And she was right. Reaching out to the Lord was the best thing she had ever done. Reaching out to the doctors didn't help. She didn't know what else to turn to. She didn't know who else to turn to, but she had heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, and she was determined that's what she was going to do. People say, "Well, all I can do is pray now." I done tried everything else. All I can do is pray. Well, that's where she got to. It probably shouldn't be your last resort, by the way, but that's the way we get, right? Well, man, it's so bad, all I can do is pray. Well, she felt like all I can do is go to this one that they say heals people. Now, by the way, she had her reasons for doing it secretly. She pressed on. She pressed through the crowd. People were all around hustling and bustling and jostling. And that's why when Jesus said, "Who touched my clothes?" the disciples were like, "Everybody. Everybody's touching you. You were all getting pushed around. The crowds are here." But there was something special about that touch. And the Lord wanted to call her out. But she did not want to be called out. The Bible says when the Lord called her out, she feared and trembled. You see, the kind of condition she had, according to the law, the Old Testament Jewish law, the kind of condition that she had really restricted her from being out in public. It was a plague, if you will. It was something that she was not to be among the people. It was like COVID social distancing is what it was. Worse than 6 feet. She probably was put out of her home, put away from her family, and all of this. She's not supposed to be out. And if the people knew that she had that condition and was out there bumping into them. I mean, you get mad when that sick person coughs and then shakes your hand, you know? And they were really upset about, they would have really been upset had they known she violated the law. And she said, "I'm not going to test, and I'm not going to tell anybody I'm sick. I'm just going out, be around everybody anyway. I'm going to church today," you know. But no, she honestly, she couldn't even do that, by the way. She couldn't even, wouldn't even be allowed into the synagogue. She's not supposed to be out there with her condition. She's not supposed to be out there bumping into folks and doing all of that. That's why I say she's a nobody that pressed on. Nobody knew her. The problem was nobody wanted to know her. And if they did know her and knew about her, they wanted her, they would shun her. Jairus was important as far as status goes, not her. So she was a nobody that pressed on. She became a somebody, amen, because the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I'm going to pay attention to this person." He does that to you too, amen. Thank God that he does pay attention to individual people no matter what's going on in their life. But she went on out there no matter what her condition was, no matter what the situation was. So whenever the Lord called her out, she's like, "Oh no, I can't let anybody know." Now she knew, by the way, at this point, the Bible says she felt it in her body. She knew immediately it worked. I'm healed. I can tell it right now. I can feel it right now. I mean, don't you wish them antibiotics they give you when you get a sinus infection? Boy, pop one pill and I feel it already. No, it doesn't work like that, does it? Oh, I can tell an immediate difference. No, it doesn't work like that. Did for her, though. She knew as soon as she reached through that crowd and made contact. Just clutched it or touched it or whatever she did. She knew something happened right then and there at that point. But then the Lord said, "Who did that?" And she's like, okay, she's thinking to herself, "I'm healed. I don't have the problem anymore. But if these people find out I'm out here and they know anything about me, and they're going to be upset with me." She wanted to stay a nobody. She wanted to stay secret. She wanted to stay private, but the Lord didn't let her do that. But she had a conviction. She had a conviction that if I just touch his garment, I'll be healed. I know it'll work. I've already read chapter 3. I've already seen what's been going on with these other people. I've already seen where people are touching him and getting healed. I know it'll work. It has to work. I mean, she's desperate. She's counting on this. And she just says it's going to work. But though she was a nobody that nobody wanted to know, she pressed on. Folks, here's a lesson on that. Don't let any obstacles keep you from laying your burdens at Jesus' feet. The devil will tell you all the reasons why you need to just let it be, leave him alone, forget it, not going to happen for you, not going to work for you, Lord's not going to heal you or help you, he's going to do that for somebody else. Don't let the devil or any obstacles keep you from just going to Jesus. Leave it there, as we sang this morning, amen? Take it to the feet of Jesus and leave it there. She pressed on. They didn't know her. They didn't want to know her. She didn't want them to know she was out there, yet she pressed on to go to Jesus, believing that was her only hope and that would be her cure. And she was right. Her conviction was correct. Her conviction led to the cure that she expected. By the way, that's how people get saved. You know, when people get to the point to where they know and they realize, I am a lost, hell-bent, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner, and I must have Jesus, that's when they get saved. If people are like, you know, well, I still think I'm a pretty good person and still think I'll make it in. No. You got to get to a place where you know, I am lost and Jesus is the only solution. She had tried everything else. She was bankrupt by everything else. Nothing, no one helped her. She said, I got to get to Jesus. You know, it's hard to get people there today. My mother let me read her testimony recently. She found it. She wrote it out years ago. But she was talking about it that in there whenever that missionary lady met her and began to witness to her and how that came about, that over a process of time, the Lord began to work immediately to where she said she began to realize her lost condition. And that's where people have to get today, is realize I am lost. I have no hope of going to heaven if I don't get to Jesus. Well, we need to pray for folks to get there today. Amen. Folks are so casual about this, and everybody's going to heaven. I mean, we got to realize, people got to realize we're lost, and we got to have Him. That's where she was. So she said, I've got to go, and I have to touch Him. So she ventured out. She ignored all the rules. She ignored everybody. She pressed on. She reached out to Jesus. She touched the garment, and she found the hope and the help and the healing that she desperately needed. And that's what happens when people realize Jesus is my only hope. Amen? She touched Jesus. Number two, she trusted Jesus. Jesus said, it wasn't the touch, it wasn't the garment, it wasn't my clothes, it's not the handkerchief that the evangelist will mail to you if you send him some money. It's none of that, it's the person in the clothes. It was the person. He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. You reached out. She came to Jesus. You reached out. You touched His clothes. But it's your faith that activated the healing. Your faith in, not her belief that if I just do this. I mean, He didn't want her to go away thinking, boy, you know, He's magic. Magic works. You know, all of, no. It is faith in who He is. It is faith and trust. She touched the Lord, but then she trusted Jesus, and that's what brought about that healing. Now, I don't think it was not a bold faith. It was not a loud faith. In fact, it was a very quiet and timid kind of a faith. It was a, I hope nobody detects me kind of a faith. I hope nobody sees me in this crowd. I'll just kind of push my way through, and I'll get to where, and she was determined to do that. But it was not a loud faith. It was not a bold faith. Aren't you going to look? You may not have a whole lot of faith, but use the faith you do have. The best you know how, you use the faith that you do have, and God will respond to it and honor it. And the more you use the faith that you have, the more your faith will grow. Amen? So that's where she is right here. She had to trust the Lord. But I'm glad, even though your faith is weak, even though your faith is small, if you put your faith in the Lord the best you know how, just trust God. We got to learn to just trust God. We have problems. We have troubles. I probably could categorize this as my worst year in a lot of ways, to be honest with you. And I'm not going there to talk about that. But honestly, if I want to try to put my years in order and my trials and my troubles and all of that, and my wife too. And anyway, I'm not going there, but we all have had our times and our years, and we just have to say, I have got to learn to trust the Lord more and trust God with this. I believe God has an answer. I believe God has a solution, and that's where she was right there. The best you know how, touch Him, reach out to Him, and trust Him with whatever it is that's going on. Got to do it. Right? It's the faith. It's not the magic. It's not the touch. It's not that. It is your faith. Now, I've read this one to you many times, but I like it. I'll read it to you again. Trust Him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust Him when thy strength is small. Trust Him when to simply trust Him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust Him, He is ever faithful. Trust Him, for His will is best. Trust Him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place of rest. I love that. I like that. And there's times when you say, I don't know what else to do. I don't know who to turn to or what to turn to or whatever. Trust Him. Trust Him. Oswald Chambers put it like this. He said, faith for my deliverance is not faith in God. I'm not done, but just think about that. Faith in my deliverance is not faith in God. He goes on to say, faith means whether I am visibly delivered or not, I will stick to my belief that God is love. There are some things only learned in the fiery furnace. God allows it sometimes, doesn't He? God will put you through the fiery furnace sometimes, won't He? And you say, all I can do is touch Him, reach out, and trust Him with it. Whatever that is, whatever's going on in your life. And this lady, as desperate as she was, as frustrated as she was, as bankrupt as she was in every way, said, I got to touch Him. But that included trusting. Trusting. Amen? Just trust Him. And let me say, number three, she testified for Jesus. She touched, she trusted, she testified for Jesus. Now, she didn't want to. She didn't want to tell her story. She didn't want her story out. You're talking about private people. Some folks are private, right? I don't want nobody to know my business. I don't want to tell my story. I don't want to get it out there. I just secretly came out here. I did what I came to do. I touched. I don't think she even knew it was her faith until the Lord told her it was her faith. I don't think she understood what she was doing or knew what she was doing. She just had heard about people touching Him, as it said in chapter 3. She had heard of Jesus. The Lord explained to her how it worked, right? She probably didn't know, but she did not want to testify. She did not want to admit, it's me. But the Bible says the Lord knew, it, just like she felt in her body at the moment she touched that garment, she felt it in her body that she was healed. What a wonderful feeling that had to have been for this lady, 12 years with this sick condition. But at that moment, she probably, now you think she wanted to shout? You think she wanted to run around? You think she wanted to leap? You think she wanted, but honestly, she's like, let me just slip off and go home. I did what I came to do, and now, she probably, by the way, I don't know where she was going to. She probably had been ousted from her own family because of her condition. She probably was about to run home to her family to say, maybe she was going to testify to them and tell them, this is what happened today. I'm healed. It's over. It's good. I can tell you, I feel it in my bones. I can feel it in my body. And this is how it happened. But at that moment in that crowd, she didn't want to say anything. She did not want to be called out. But the Lord Jesus Christ called her out. He didn't want her to disappear. He didn't want her to slip away. So He wanted to know who did it. Everybody's touching you, Lord, the disciple said. Everybody's bumping into you. Peter's like, I'd have been knocked over three times trying to keep up with you in here, and everybody's touching you. No, there's something different about this one. Virtue, power has gone out of me. He knew. Amen. He knew. But just like when He said, Adam, where art thou? Called Adam out. He knew the answer and all of that. He wanted Adam to confess. The Lord always calls us out to public profession of faith. Baptism. Publicly identify with the Lord and the church, right? Let your light so shine throughout the week. God doesn't want us to be secret disciples. Amen. He wants us to let folks know. He wants us to go out there and witness. So the Lord always calls people out. But she's thinking, I'm considered ceremonially unclean. These people don't want to know I'm out here. These people don't want to know my situation. I'm healed, but I just touched 100 people. They're all going to be mad at me. I'm healed now, but I wasn't healed 2 minutes ago when I touched that guy or that lady. And, all of this stuff that they believed would, with the ceremonially unclean COVID stuff, whatever. She's like, I don't want anybody to know. But the Bible says fear and trembling. She had no choice but to tell him. It was me. I did it. Now listen, here's something interesting about that. Jesus did not fear her unclean touch. Everybody else would have been afraid to understand she's ceremonially unclean, she's got this disease, she's got this issue, she's got this problem, and she just touched me, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? The Lord, He wasn't afraid of that. He wasn't scared. You could cough on Him with your COVID. He's not going to be in fear of that. Amen, right? The Lord's not going to worry about it. He's not going to do like we do and panic over this stuff. The Lord was not afraid of her unclean touch. I can't believe you touched me. I cannot believe you came out here and touched my garment. I got to wash this thing for a week now, or I got to burn it, or what? And a lot of times that was what they believed they had to do. And He wasn't like that. And can I say this to you, friend? When you go to Jesus with your filthy life and your filthy sins, He's not afraid. He knows what to do. He knows how to deal with that. He wants us to go to Him. Don't go to the Lord saying, I'm a good person, Lord, but if you can help me get into heaven, even though I think I'm going to make it anyway because I'm a pretty good person. No, you go to Him saying, I'm undone, I'm lost, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. He's not afraid of that. He wants you to go to Him with that. Amen. He wants you to take your troubles. He wants you to take your burdens. He wants you to take your sins. He wants you to come to Him. He's not afraid of being approached by filthy sinners. You know, a lot of churches, by the way, are afraid of people coming into their church that don't fit the bill. We've got to be careful. Jesus died for all of us. Amen. And we're all filthy sinners in His sight. We've all come up short. We got to know that and understand that and not look down our noses at other people because the Lord doesn't. Everybody else said, shun her, get her away. We don't want her around. The Lord said, hey, where are you at? I want to talk to you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to meet you right now. I'm going, hey, that's the Jesus that we serve. Amen? But you know what? She testified because He called her out to testify. Why? Because, first of all, Jairus needed to see that a miracle just happened. Because as soon as the Lord says, your faith has made you whole, go in peace. She hadn't done that in a long time. And the Lord said, go in peace. And then Jairus hears that, but then he also hears, your daughter just died. He needed to see Jesus. He actually can do miracles. Now, I don't know why he just stopped for this. I don't know why this interruption. I wish he hadn't done it. He didn't complain. He was very patient, and the Lord helped him, right? Maybe it encouraged him, even when they came with that news. But wait a minute, guys. He heals people. Well, your daughter's already dead. He didn't lose hope. Amen? No matter how bad it gets, if you see somebody else get help, that ought to give you encourage you that you can get help too. Amen? You say, they're important, I feel like a nobody. Well, in this case, the somebody, Jairus, kind of got put off. Why? Because the Lord said, I want to deal with this nobody that nobody else wants to deal with. Nobody knows her, nobody wants to know her, but everybody's about to find out about her. And the Lord said, I'm going to take time here to meet her and talk to her, and hopefully her story will help somebody else. Did you know your story of salvation, your story of the touch of Jesus on your life that has changed your life, it'll help somebody else. Amen, right? Amen? That's why the Lord wants you to tell your story. Don't be quiet about it. Let folks know Jesus is the reason. Jesus is the answer. I am what I am by the grace of God. It's the Lord. Let your light so shine, people will see your good works, glorify your Father which art in heaven, because it's not about us, it's about the one that does something in us, amen, and through us. But the other part of that is, you might go through the fiery furnace, you might go through troubles, you might go through trials, you might go through bad years and bad times, but if you can say, as the choir sang this morning, till the storm passes by, He was with me all the way. He helped me all the way. He led me all the way. He didn't shield me from everything, but He was there with me the whole time. And the Lord is there with me. And the Lord gives peace that passes all understanding. Don't you think that's going to help somebody else when you tell that story? Hadn't you been helped by hearing somebody else's story? Jairus needed to hear it. Others in the crowd needed to hear it. The Lord recorded it in the Bible, in three of the Gospels, so that we can hear it today and be encouraged by it. And nobody that pressed on, pressed through the crowd, nobody wanted her to be around, but she pressed through anyway. Don't let anything, any obstacle, any person keep you from getting to Jesus to find grace to help in time of need. The Bible says come boldly. That's what she did. The Bible says come boldly to find grace to help in time of need. And while everybody else said she's a nobody, everybody else said push her away, don't take time for her, Jesus let them all know, him or her that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Lord took time. How many people did Jesus take time with that nobody else would give time to? Even children. They tried to push them away. And the Lord said, no, you let them come. The needy and the children and the weak and the poor. The Lord has time. The Lord has love. And the Lord died for all of them, all of us. Amen. Praise God for it. A nobody that pressed on. You know what? That applies. You say, you shouldn't call her that. You know what? It applies to me. In the eyes of this world, I'm a nobody. Sorry, but you probably are too. But I tell you what, if you press on to get Jesus, you'll find out in his eyes you're somebody. Amen? You're somebody for whom he died. You're somebody that he wants a relationship with. You're somebody that he wants to help and heal or whatever it is that he wants to do in your life. I don't know how many people say, well, God doesn't have time for me and, I don't need to, bother God. I don't know how many. I've heard a lot of people say that. I invited this biker to church years ago, a fellow I went to school with, and he was like, oh, them people don't want me coming in the church. The way he looked, and all of that. I met this guy. He was a rough-looking character. I ran into him at the hospital back home one time, and we were on the elevator, and there were other people there that knew me, and I said, hey, man, how are you doing? He and I got to talking, and then he got off the elevator and went on, and other people were looking at me like, who in the world was that? I was like, just a guy I went to school with. He's a good guy. Living a rough life. Needs Jesus. Amen. Right? Yes. Sometimes we do judge people, right? And look at them like that, like we shouldn't. But there's not a nobody. There are no nobodies with Jesus. She pressed on and found out with Jesus she could be a somebody. Tell your story. Stand up and testify, Jesus said. Who touched me? Hey, everybody, pay attention to this lady. Not that lady. No. Hey. Jesus said, listen to her. And then he said to her, go in peace. Boy, she had never heard that, but she hadn't done that in 12 years, gone in peace. Aren't you glad you can go with Jesus and go in peace? Amen. And may the Lord help us realize this in our own way tonight. This is just a story, old story. I hope it's a fresh look. I hope it'll help you tonight, because you might be the nobody that needs to press on right now. Let's bow our heads this evening, please. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we know we go through troubles, we go through trials, we go through these things, but God, you care. Nobody else may not want to know it. Nobody else may not care, but we know you do. We may be a nobody in the eyes of others, and maybe we can't get help from other people. But we know that you love us and you care, and you can help like no others. Lord, speak to our hearts, encourage us, and help us here tonight to realize this. And God, if there's somebody tonight, they need to lay their burden at your feet this evening and be reminded that you care and you can help. I pray, Lord, you touch that heart right now. And I ask it in Jesus' name this evening. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed this evening.